The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number 153. John, how we doing?
Man, I'm doing great. I am celebrating tonight.
Uh-oh. Are we going to save what you're celebrating when we get into the store?
We will wait till we get into the store.
Ooh, yeah, I can't wait to get into the store then. We're celebrating. We got all sorts of news. I got some a little bit of bad news, but okay. I'll wait till we get in the store for that one. So, hey,
all right.
Let's. I mean, we got so much to get to. I'm so excited now. Jeez, I was excited before you said that. Now here we go. All right, let's get into the store.
All right.
John.
Yeah,
I'm here. I'm in the store. The bell went off. The bell.
I know. That means the door opened.
Yeah. All right. Here, let me start that again. That didn't go well at all. Let me go back outside and come back in.
All right.
Hey, Take John. How we doing?
I'm great, man.
You're doing great.
Celebrating.
You're celebrating. What?
I am.
What exactly? Now, I can't wait to hear this because you teased something before we even started recording. I'm like, how does this tie in?
Not at all.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what? Right. What are we celebrating?
Two things, actually. First thing is, I got a new autograph for my collection.
Ooh.
So, this is for the YouTube viewers, but I'm going to show it to you. Right here.
Oh, ho.
So, Ashley Eckstein.
Look at that. Ashley
Ahsoka Tano.
Ahsoka Tano. That's an awesome picture, too.
Yeah. So I just got that today.
See that? Our YouTube viewership is going to go up from there. You have an autographed picture of Ahsoka Tano.
I know. We're going to go from 32 to 64 right away. because people are going to want to see what
those 32 people all have a friend.
Yes. So, yeah, I just got that today. That's it in the frame
awesome. Right
before the show. So, been waiting for about, I don't know, 10 weeks or so for that to come in. So,
why didn't you send me a picture of that and I could have posted? Or you wanted to surprise me on the show?
I wanted to surprise you. Yeah,
I see how it is. Okay.
And then
the second thing is,
I found out today on the Ralph Report that today is International Gin and Tonic Day.
That happens
to be my favorite drink. So, also for the YouTube viewers, I'm going to show you this giant gin and tonic that I have.
Oh, no. Are we going to have...
Well, you control the action, DJ, because for every... Oh my, or she fell on to Dick that I hear in the show today, I'm going to take a drink.
Oh, no.
But I also want to let you know that this is like number three for
already.
Me. Yeah. It would have been number two, but you hit me with a 20 minute delay at 5 o'clock. So that was just enough time to down number two.
We're not making it through this show.
And get number three poured. So for YouTube, that's three that I'm at.
Not getting through this show.
So we may or may not get through it, and it'll be finished one way or the other, but you have no idea what I have coming.
You have no idea what I have coming.
So just wanted to let you know that.
No.
So we are celebrating today International Gin and Tonic Day.
Oh, my.
Oh,
language.
See, here we go. Sorry, you have to bleep that out.
Oh God!
So if you are not a subscriber on YouTube, today is the perfect day to do that.
Oh no! I already got this.
I'm being an ambassador for the program today. So.
Oh no!
This should be a fun show.
This should.
Just letting you know.
Oh no! I'm afraid to hit it.
So,
oh man!
It's up to you how many times you want to hit that button. But full disclosure again, this will be finished at the end of the show one way or the other.
One way or the other. It's, yeah. you know, something so tells...
It's up to you how quickly we get
something
there.
Something tells me but. That when Lydia gets home, she's going to take one look at you and go...
He was rode wet and put away hard. Oh, see, that should have been on there too, because... There we go.
Oh, no.
Well, she'll find me passed out on the bed. She might not even come home tonight. She might be staying at a hotel.
Exactly.
We'll find out.
Oh, man.
I'll find out later.
All right. Well, we might as well. I've got bad news, but I guess it's actually good news because it's just going to shorten the show a little bit. Because
okay.
I never made it to the theater. I never got to see No Time to Die.
Oh, so, man. Oh, I really wanted to talk about that.
I know.
Kryptonite.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a good thing.
Might be.
You're making it to Kryptonite.
I might be pretty sloppy by the time we get to Kryptonite.
You got to watch this video back. You're not doing too well right now.
This will be the funnest show that we've ever done.
All right. Hopefully we keep the... Okay. I'm just panicking because I already know what we have going on in mailbag. So do you want to just get right to that?
Sure, because I
got a great
know,
crowd so. Going behind us here. They're all here to see John, apparently.
They are, because I'm drinking on the job, apparently.
Yes, you are. All right. Let's get to mailbag here.
Okay.
And we'll see what we got going on. What do we got? Oh, God. All right. First up, we have our buddy Carl. Says he loves the Stern-inspired sound drops and hope your shipping issues improve ASAP, John.
What are the Stern-inspired sound drops?
All of our sound drops. Just Stern. See, that's what's funny. It's like
are Stern-inspired? Because I'm a big Howard Stern fan, but I didn't know that.
That I didn't get that either. I didn't know if, like, was Stern one of the first, like, way back when, was he the first ones to start putting in stuff like a Wilhelm, or was he one of, you know, like, stuff like that?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I haven't watched Stern in a while, but I used to check him out on when he had whatever channel. I mean, he had his show was on TV for a while.
I'm sure Carl will let us know because...
I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
But as far as the shipping issues go... So...
I got your emails.
Yeah, so here's 3 weeks worth of Penguin Random House shipping. Week one, perfect shipment.
Wait a minute. Of what Random House?
Penguin?
Oh,
is that what I said? Is that not what I said? I don't know.
It was kind of messy.
Penguin Random House shipping. So week one, perfect shipment. Week two, almost 100% damage shipment.
95, yeah.
Week three, perfect shipment.
Ooh.
So, so this week's books were great. They, I guess they took a page out of Lunar's book and they kind of shipped just like they do. And so they had everything packed in a box, inside another box with bubble wrap and, you know, all kind of protection, and everything was great. So I think that going forward they're going to be fine. According to Tyne, who is my sales rep, they weren't able to really do anything to affect week two's shipments because they were already in the pipeline after week one and all the problems that they had. But for week three, they were able to make a lot of adjustments and everything seemed great. And based on what I got, everything was perfect. So fingers crossed, but I'm optimistic that going forward, we won't have any issues with their shipping of Marvel books. So last week was kind of a cluster. You know, I had a lot of issues with Marvel, obviously. And, you know, I was told initially that they're, you know, I got full credit for everything, so that was fine on my end financially, but I was told that I wasn't going to get any replacement books for my damages, so I sent out an email to all my customers telling them that. And then this morning, I got tracking numbers for what looked like all the replacements for last week's damaged books. So it seems like I'm going to get replacements for everything, and...
Well, that's good.
Yeah, everything should be good going forward, so... it was a rough week, you know, sales-wise. It really hit me in the pocket last week because not having those books was a big deal, but... should make it up this week once everything... Looks like it's going to ship tomorrow. It said second-day air shipping today, so I should receive it tomorrow. And sometime in the afternoon, I should have all of the books for last week and this week. So hopefully whatever shortcomings I had in sales last week will make up this week. So
no, that's cool.
Should be good, yeah.
Yeah.
Should be good.
That'll help.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, I got your emails about the issues. I thought for sure you were going to come in here, or I would come into the store today, and be like, and you'd be all fired up. But that's good that you had a good week. But
yeah,
you know, it's unfortunate. It's tough selling those books.
I mean, a little bit of growing pains for Random House. I mean, but I think they learned their lesson, and obviously they're a big enough company that
yeah,
I think going forward things will be good. It just got off to a rocky start. And
so let me ask you this, though. Week one was like, it sounded like you won the lottery. It was like just happenstance that you got a good shipment.
Exactly.
Is that what happened in week three as well, or did they box things differently?
No, they packaged things very differently in week three. Like I said, everything was packaged in a box inside an outer okay. box that was
did you say bubble that already? Wrapped.
I did, but
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry, I was
it's all right.
adjusting some things.
It's all right. But yeah, I think week one I did get very lucky, and
yeah.
I just happened to not have the damages that most people reported. But for week three, it was a clear difference in their packing strategy. Now, whether it's financially responsible for them going forward to offer free shipping and all the packing that they did this week
right.
remains to be seen. But, you know, if yeah. they come in somewhere like Lunar does and, you know, charges $8 to $10 a week for shipping, I'd be okay with that too. Like, I'm fine paying for that shipping.
Well, yeah.
If it's good. What I'm not okay with is like the diamond shipping where it's like $30, $40, $50, $100 a week. And there's still damages and there's still issues like that. So I think there's a middle ground. And for the long-term viability of Random House, they may be not able to order free shipping with the extra packing that they're doing. But if they keep it in line with what Lunar's doing, then I'm still okay with that. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm good. I'm optimistic going forward. And I knew, like I said, they're a big company, and I figured they would yeah. get it together. But it did, you know, it really caused me some issues last week. So,
of course. Something, yeah. If that kept going, that could kill the business.
It
I mean,
could.
If you have 95% bad, you can't sell that. It's like,
no, and I was pretty down after last
I
week
bet.
Thinking,
yeah.
man, you know, I don't know. Should I keep doing this? Like, is it even worth it?
Right.
But if they get it together and they get it solved, and even, like I said, if it's not free shipping going forward, if it's a lot more reasonable than what Diamond's doing and it kind of comes in line with what Lunar's doing, then we'll be fine. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the second one. We only have two this week. Quiet week,
okay.
But that's okay, because here comes a Lulu.
All right.
So, from Chris, says, "Hi, guys. Love the show. Been quietly listening for a while. Wanted to let you know I love the Sounders, and John clearly has a way with words. This week's episode is no exception with stroking
his... news to me.
stroking his bald cat. I'd like to submit oh. that. He goes, I'd like to submit that to be added to John's gems." And he spelled gems with a J.
I love
so
that.
So the JJ's.
John's gems.
You guys are great together. I look forward to what you guys will say next, Chris. So when I got that one, I was...
stroking his bald cat.
Uh,
stroking his bald cat.
Oh my.
Oh, language. There we go. You got. Oh boy.
I have to get under control because you're going to be hitting the Chris Evans too much this week.
I've been hitting it, yeah, big time.
I think I have to pay him royalties after this week.
I think. Oh man. So yeah. So we have a new name. These are all filed under John's Gems.
All right.
Not Jules. Gems.
Gems. Gems. Yes. Stroking his bald cat.
And then we have.
She fell onto Dick. Oh, and he was rode wet and put away hard.
Oh my.
There's three for the YouTube guys.
Oh man. All right. This is going to be fun.
I might have to pause and go to the bathroom again.
You think? I'm not pausing the podcast. I'll have to fill it with not dead air.
You'll have to fill it with dead air. You'll have to talk like Ralph does on the
Ralph
Report.
We're all going to need a break.
Ralph in 60 seconds. DJ in 60 seconds.
Exactly. If you could, I have a feeling that by the time, you're probably going to make a couple of trips.
Your second one
might actually be a trip. I don't think you're making it in one fell swoop.
Yeah. Because like I said, this is a 24-ounce cup, and this is number three, so.
Oh, God. All right. We better move this along very quickly.
Okay.
You ready to get to our breaking news? And do you have, speaking of that, we got stuff for Fandome in there, right?
A little bit. I don't have a lot, but mostly just renewals for shows that are currently going. They had a lot of trailers that I didn't put in the news.
All right, let's talk about those here.
Okay.
Before we get to the news. What did you think? I didn't even get to see the Flash trailer. That was a teaser, right?
It wasn't much of a trailer because Ezra Miller came on and said that they didn't really have a lot of things shot or ready to do a trailer, but they did a little teaser.
Yeah,
it looked good. It looked like a lot of fun. It looked more fun than what the normal DC, the Snyderverse has been because.
Well, yeah.
You know, the biggest criticism of that is that it's very dark. But, you know, Patty Jenkins' Wonder Woman and the Shazam movies were a little bit lighter, and this feels like it's kind of in the same vein as that.
Right.
But, that looked good. We did see a trailer, not even a trailer, again, a teaser for the Black Adam movie.
That was pretty cool.
Which was really cool. I think that was it as far as...
Well, the Batman.
Oh, in the Batman. The Batman trailer. Now, the Batman trailer, again, feels like very Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Kind of felt like a lot of we've seen this before, but... According to Matt Reeves, this will focus a lot more on the detective aspects of. I've had three big gin and tonics,
Tuesday.
Yeah, the detective aspects of Batman, as opposed to just the I'm going to go in and punch everybody aspects that we've seen in the past. So that actually looked good. Listening to Zoe Kravitz talk about it and Robert Pattinson, I don't know if you saw a lot of Fandome, but I did have it playing in the store, so I kind of heard more than I saw, but that part of it I paid a little bit more attention to, and it looks like it's going to be pretty good, but it had a lot of Christopher Nolan vibes. With that, so
now because I've heard that opinion too, and I didn't really get that from it because I just took it as it looks. I watched the trailer in my theater, and I don't know if you've had a chance to crank it up at your house, but it is
not yet.
Fantastic. The bass in it is great. It's got some nice punchy bass to it to really get you going. Maybe taking it in that way, if you took it in at the theater, you might not feel so much Christopher Nolan as much as you feel like just a good, solid realistic, like almost well-grounded action, you know, a Batman right. story, you know, and this is supposed to be more detective wise, which I like. Looks like it's what, year two, I think. We've talked about that
somewhere.
In the past.
Year one, it's year like, two. It's early on in his career, at least.
But it's slated for March 4th. And what I think is interesting, we still don't. That means we should be getting some HBO Max stuff, right? Was that in DC Fandom?
Well, they talked about this. Gotham, which is a spinoff, the Penguin, which is a spinoff, and also the Batgirl movie, which is grounded in that same universe. But I don't know what the timing of those are.
See,
I don't know if we get them before or after the movie.
I think Penguin and Batgirl sounds like it should be spinoffs, like come afterwards. But from everything we'd heard before, is Gotham was supposed to be like a prequel to it. We're supposed to see that ahead of time. So hopefully we would be getting that sometime in February or January, you know, as a series.
Yeah, and they haven't showed a definitive release date on that yet.
I'm looking forward to that. And that, I mean, building up into the Batman, maybe it comes out in February and then we get to see Batman, the Batman, which I love that title too, Batman, because that also gives you the idea that it's very early on in his career. He hasn't gotten the name yet. You know, it's like, you know, people are calling him the Batman. That's it. So, and I love the vengeance thing early on, young, vengeful, you know. We talked about this a while ago, but I'm still not crazy about his overall look, like Robert Pattinson's, like his hair and stuff. I'm like, that's not what I've seen Bruce Wayne look like
in the Bruce Wayne persona. I agree, but the Batman look has been
the Batman.
I think
looks
it looks
cool.
good.
Yeah,
yeah, I think it looks good.
Yeah, early on Batman, and you could tell, you know, there's going to be some evolution there before we get a full on the Batman. You know. A Batman, which I like. I really do. But I just think that the Robert Pattinson look of the hair and the thing, it's like, that's not what Bruce Wayne has ever been about.
It hasn't. You're right. And obviously, there's been a lot of criticism with him as Batman. But I don't know. I'm kind of optimistic about it. Actually, I think he's going to do a good job.
Yeah, we're the Michael Keaton generation. We have to be optimistic. Right.
Exactly.
So.
True.
So, yeah, so 2022, we have March 4th is the Batman, and then July 29th is Black Adam, and November 4th is The Flash. And then wrapping up the year, we get Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom on December 16th. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and actually, Aquaman looked pretty good. Yeah, I think it's going to be great. And, you know, we've got Shazam coming. So, a lot of good DC stuff coming on the
horizon. Yeah, Shazam's coming in 2023.
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't get any opportunity to see any fandom. I saw the trailers and stuff as they come out.
Right.
I was following along on Twitter online and stuff, but I didn't get a chance to sit down and see any of that. So.
I had it running in the store all day on Saturday, and
that's awesome.
I kind of heard more than I saw because, you know, I had customers coming in, but, you know, in the periphery, I was trying to listen to it. But
I did see
the Matt Reeves interview and the Zoe Kravitz talking about Batman, and I saw Dwayne Johnson talking about Black Adam, and I'm pretty optimistic about what we've got going forward. You know, I know DC's got a lot of criticism about their movie slate and the Snyderverse and all that stuff, but I think we're going to be pretty happy with what we get coming in the next couple of years with the DC movies. So
yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've liked them all anyways, so.
Well, I have too for the most part.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I can't think of anything I really dislike too much, but, you know, they've been second fiddle to the MCU for a while, and I think, like I said, I think I'm optimistic about.
Think they're
going
to catch him?
Definitely not, but they've got some good stuff coming. So
yeah,
yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the news then. You ready for to hit the news?
I am.
All right.
So, Tom Holland was, you know, he's making the rounds doing the press for Spider-Man 3. And according to him, he feels like Spider-Man 3 is the end of the trilogy, and he doubts his return as Spider-Man. So that the only thing I have to cause into question with that is the credit scene from Venom 3.
Yeah.
Because it feels like Sony may not be done with him as Spider-Man, but according to him, you know, while on the set of Spider-Man 3, you know, it felt like, you know, he was kind of saying goodbye to the character and, you know, to the castmates that he's been in with these three movies. But I'm a little dubious about what that still means going forward, because obviously we know that the Venom post-credit scene sets up Spider-Man going forward.
Right.
At least the Sony-verse, maybe not the MCU, but Sony has plans for Spider-Man. So, again, looking at the way that credit scene played out and the fact that the Venom symbiote was, you know, clearly recognized Tom Holland's Peter Parker in the movie, makes me think that he may not be done. But, you know, we also know that, like, this is his last, it's his last obligation with regards to Marvel and Sony. So, you know, we'll have to see what kind of renegotiations come up and what that means going forward. But
yeah, well, I feel like he has said in the past that he wants to keep going. And now he's saying this feels like it's the end. So maybe it's a negotiation thing. Maybe it's also just him playing with us, because he loves to do that. He loves to put out the spoilers, like, ooh, I spoiled something, which he's an actor, for God's sakes. He's
right. And he does, but there may not be anything officially in place today for him to return. But like you said, he's obviously, I think he's open to returning.
Yeah.
But whether that's completely under the veil of Sony and not necessarily part of the MCU is what is the big question mark.
Right.
Because we, you know, when we talked about Venom, was it 2 weeks ago? Mm. We weren't sure what that meant for the actual MCU as opposed to what Sony's trying to do going forward with the Spider-Man property and whether they're going to try to bring it back under their umbrella and keep it a little bit away from Marvel. So I think that they probably could get it done and keep him going, but with regards to what his current deal is, he's probably thinking that he's finished. So
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, three drinks in,
so. Know. We know.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to get to the next one?
Yeah.
This is going to be so fun for you to listen back to.
It will. It will. So it looks like Why the Last Man has been canceled by Hulu.
Why, you say?
Why I say, what I read today was that it actually didn't have much to do with the ratings as much as the financial aspects of just keeping the show going.
Right.
You know, we reported many times over the last year or so that there was a lot of hiccups with this show, getting it under production, getting the showrunner in place, with COVID delays and
yep.
I think it was
issues that had nothing to do with COVID too.
It was pretty financially taxing on Fox and Hulu to get this show in place. And while the viewership has been respectable, it hasn't been enough to encourage Hulu to keep this going for season two. So there are hopes that this will be picked up by somebody else, possibly HBO Max, because this is a DC property, so maybe it will get picked up there. But the showrunner was on Twitter this week talking about how she had hopes that it would keep going, but that it was officially not going forward with season two for Hulu and Fox. So, you know, we've talked about this show briefly. I think it was pretty respectable with regards to the source material and, you know, the way they handled things, but I'm not sure that I'm going to watch the last three episodes, to be honest with you. Like, I didn't love it enough that I want to get sucked into a cliffhanger that's not going to get resolved. So, like, this week's episode, I did kind of delete from my Up Next on Apple TV. If we find out that it's going forward later on, I'll go back and watch the last three episodes. But I'm a little disappointed that it didn't get picked up, but you know, I'm not gonna put any more time into it if it's not going forward.
Right.
I've read the books, so I know how it ends.
Yeah.
So, or
do you remember
I think I know how it ends because I really didn't remember going into the show.
Well,
I'm not gonna put three more hours into it if it's just gonna die. If I have to, I'll go back and read the books. You know,
right? Exactly. I did hear because I'm skeptical myself on whether I'm going to finish it now because Jen and I we watched an episode last night and we're enjoying it, but I also think that the reason I'm skeptical is because there's a chance it could show up on HBO Max.
Right.
And I saw that in an article today, and I was like, okay, so maybe they just shifted over to there because they kind of have the rights to it as well or something like that. But
it's a DC property because it was Vertigo, so
it
belongs to Warner Brothers.
But what does that take for Hulu to – because that's Disney. So Disney owns it, so they'd have to unload it, and that's why I'm like kind of – I'm even skeptical on that because –
yeah.
Maybe they just let it go. I don't know. But if you save those last three episodes and don't watch them and you hear that it gets picked up, well, now you have something to get you going again and get you back into it before the next season drops. So who knows?
And again, according to one of the articles I read today, it wasn't so much about the viewership. It was just the financial obligations of keeping the show going.
Well, they had to commit at a certain time, and they wanted,
October 15th, they had to commit to extending the contracts of the principal actors,
right?
And they weren't sure that they were willing to do that in a timely fashion. So they decided to let the
actors out of their contracts and such and such. So I don't know.
I don't know what the viewership has been for Hulu.
According to
the article, it was respectable, and it wasn't so much about that. It was just the financial aspect of COVID coming in and causing them to have to delay production and change showrunners and commit the actors to certain amounts of time that it just didn't seem fiscally responsible for them to go forward with it. So, all that being said, that just seems like fancy speak for it wasn't getting enough ratings because if it was doing gangbusters for them, then they would have committed everybody to it. But I think that it wasn't doing exactly what they hoped it would do. And so they weren't willing to hang on to these people. But hopefully HBO Max will pick it up. And again, if they do, then I'll go back and I'll watch the last three episodes and I'll go forward.
Yep.
But I've read the book, so I don't need to keep investing time into it if it's just finished.
Right.
So we'll see what happens with that.
Yep. All right. Moving on to the next one.
Yeah. So speaking of HBO Max picking up properties, Pennyworth, which is something I've never actually seen an episode of.
It's good.
Looks like it's going to be picked up by HBO Max for season 3. And that means that seasons 1 and 2 will exist on the platform going forward. So,
oh, awesome.
Yeah,
I wasn't able to.
Yeah, I wasn't able to watch this because I didn't have an Epix subscription.
Mm.
But once it goes to HBO Max, I'm definitely interested in picking this up and I'll watch the first two seasons and look forward to season 3. So that's great. Yeah, that's something that came out of Fandome as well, and I'll look forward to that showing up and being able to watch it. So,
yep. All right, moving on.
So next, Disney has pushed all of its 2022 Marvel films by basically a couple of months. Every film, according to what Disney says, they haven't changed any of their release windows. It looks like every movie has pushed up to the following window. So Doctor Strange 2 is moved to the May window.
You want me to I have them all. I have them all right here from my podcast this morning. You want me to read them?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, previously dated from March 25th, 2022, has been moved to May 6th, which will now kick off the summer season. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, the sequel, was previously dated for July 8th, 2022, but has been moved to November 11th. Thor Love and Thunder, previously set for May 6th, will now take the spot from Black Panther 2 on July 8th. And The Marvels, previously dated for November 11th, 2022, has been moved to February 17th, 2023. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, previously dated for February 17th, 2023, has been pushed to July 28th, 2023. And then also, Indiana Jones sequel's been previously dated for July 29th, 2022, has been moved a year to June 30th, 2023. Well, just under a year, technically. And their Star Wars movies as well, been pushed off. December, after Rogue Squadron, December 22nd, 2023, will launch December 19th, 2025. And then followed by another installment on December 17th, 2027. So it's crazy. And
so I guess the question is, like Kevin Feige said today that everything was just kind of being pushed up one release window forward.
Right.
So what's taking the place of whatever was supposed to happen
in March?
In March.
I don't think anything. I think just I think Eternals drops on time. And Spider-Man drops on time. But then we're gonna have to wait. Well, for all intents and purposes, it's only 2 months because you're going from March to May. So it's
so
literally
we go,
2 months.
Instead of three later. Months, we go 5 months.
Look at you doing math.
Well, again, I read the article. So.
Oh, okay.
Don't give me too much credit.
I'm not. Trust me.
Yeah. But I
You're
guess
working
after
to
the
stay upright right now.
I am. But after the initial 5 month break, everything just got shifted forward one date. So
pretty much. Yeah.
So they've kept all their dates. They've just moved everything up forward one slot.
Yes.
So I think the March slot will just be empty. And
yep.
We'll have to wait until May for
getting
something.
The Batman though.
We are, yes. No. We'll have DC stuff coming in the middle, but...
Right.
I guess the biggest issue is not so much the Marvel stuff, because it's a machine that will keep going. it's almost waiting another year for the Indiana Jones movie that is kind of the biggest issue.
Dare I say, I would not be surprised if we never get it.
Yeah, because what did Ralph say today that pushes it to like right before his 83rd birthday or something like that?
82nd, 83rd and birthday.
I don't know that I need to see an 83-year-old Indiana Jones running around doing anything.
He keeps getting injured, so he won't be 83. It's going to be like they're filming it now, but what are they doing for... Like what's happening that they have to put it off for a year? Other than the fact
like
that
it's more about the Fleabag girl. What's her name? That
I don't know.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge. It's going to be more about her
than
it is about him, because again, he's going to be 83 years old. Like how much stuff can he do going forward? So. But yeah, he can't even be on set these days because he keeps getting hurt. So
I wonder what happened with Doctor Strange, because it feels to me like that's the one that pushed everything, because they're not going to make it on that. And because they're so intertwined and they need to come out in a certain order, because they shifted, everything shifted.
Right,
so it's got to be Doctor Strange that they had an issue.
But you would think if it was a COVID thing, it would affect Hawkeye and...
Yeah, I don't think it's COVID, though.
That stuff going forward. So what is the actual... Like, they never really came out and said what the actual reason for the first move is. Because if it was COVID, then you would think they would be delaying Eternals or Spider-Man, but they're not. Those are still going forward.
Well, they're done.
With their release dates.
Yeah.
And... looking at box office, like, this isn't part of the news, but, Halloween came out this week, and it did great, $50 million or so at the box office. And the box office seems to be bouncing back, so I don't know what the actual reason for moving Doctor Strange is, because it seems like the box office is okay.
Yeah,
so,
it's recovering. It's doing
well.
Yeah,
I don't know why they're moving it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But maybe they're just not finished with it. Maybe it just comes down to they're just not done and they won't be ready in time.
Yeah, I don't think it has to do with COVID. So I think it's just, I don't know. Who knows?
But. Yeah.
All right. You ready to move on?
Yeah, and the last thing is... This actually came out of FanDome. We had a couple of renewals. We had an official renewal for Titan Season 4. Brenton Thwaites was part of FanDome, and he renewed that. Or he announced that Season 4 was coming.
He showed up. I'm renewing it.
Yeah. Like, it's all up to him. Because he'll renew it for Season 12 if he has the ability to do that.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
And then we also got word that Harley Quinn Season 3 was coming. So,
yeah, but you know what? Didn't they announce that at the last FanDome?
I thought we already knew that.
Exactly. But, I'm like, because she had a huge presence. Kaley Cuoco had a huge presence in FanDome 1, where she was the opening announcer. She all this, and we'd already had Season 2, which really wasn't a Season 2. Wasn't it like a 1.2? Whatever, I can't remember.
Yes, it was actually the second part of Season 1. And it looks like Season 2/3 is going to revolve a lot around the comic that we're getting with the Eat, Bang, Kill tour. So,
oh, cool. Okay.
And I'm going to put you on the spot real quick, because you're going to have to fill the air for 30 to 60 seconds.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah. So hold on.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Should I put on... What should I do? Let's get the crowd going here. So, while John sneaks away, do we wonder, is John going to make it back? What's the over-under if he even trips and falls? Because John's going to hear this back tomorrow, and there is no way he's going to be... Well, knowing him, he will be proud. I've known him. I've seen him much worse. And this is going to be fun. I don't know. Do I keep hitting him with sounders? do we end? I mean, how long is this podcast going to go? Because his speech is slurring and slowing. It's a lot of fun. I'm wondering if he's going to come back, because I might have to finish this podcast myself. But anyways, while he was gone, yes, Titans is renewed for season 4. Pretty surprised at that. I had a pretty good conversation ready to talk to him about Titans season 3, because we're not too crazy about it. But we're not crazy about it because of it's not really Titans. It's not really Batman. So I was really looking forward to talking to him about that this week, but maybe I'll talk to him about it next week, because I think I'll get a more cohesive conversation with him. So this should be fun. Should be interesting. For those of you watching on YouTube, you could check out in the background now that he's not in the way. You could see all of his Star Wars, a lot of his Star Wars collection, actually. It's pretty cool. Quite the collection. I've seen it. And, yeah, he's got X-Wings back there. He's got all the figurines. We're probably going to do another podcast on that at some point where we really, now that we're on YouTube, I think the last time we did it, we just talked about it and I posted pictures somewhere or something. But we'll definitely we'll be going through that thing again. It's quite the collection. So I'm wondering if he's okay. Oh, there he is. Phew, I got nervous. There he is. He's back.
There he is.
I just said before your shoulder came back into the screen, I go, I'm wondering if he's okay. He's been gone a while, so.
Yeah, it was a long one. But
yeah, it's hard to pontificate for that long. No one.
But according to what it looks like they've announced for season 3 of
Harley
Quinn.
Jesus Christ,
he
goes
right. I gotta go backwards.
He just goes right back into what he was reading.
But it looks like it's going to kind of mirror what we've been seeing in the comics for the Eat, Bang, Kill tour. So hopefully you didn't say that already, but maybe
no,
you did.
Oh, God.
This is a gas leak show.
You think?
Yeah.
No, a gas leak is when you don't know what it is.
Okay.
We are all very aware of
what it is. So,
you are
so tell me.
You are
tell me where I need to be, and I'll put away. I will. Oh shoot!
Oh, look at that! He held it. All right.
Tell me where I need to be, and I'll be there.
That was it. You are not present at the moment.
I was not.
But yeah, no. I was saying that I have a conversation. Speaking of Titans season 4, I had a conversation ready to go for tonight about Titans season 3, and I think I'll save it for next week. Because
we don't want to do it in Kryptonite?
I don't think we're making it to Kryptonite, buddy.
I'll be all right. I'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be fine. As long as you don't keep hitting those sounders, I'll be all right.
You're wavering right now. You're holding yourself up with one hand. Oh, look at you. You should see
your eyes. I'm fine.
This is fantastic. You're fine.
You know... I just noticed that we're like 40 minutes into the show and you still have the background music, the sound effects of all the customers going.
No, I just pulled
in
them back.
Store.
No, the crowd just came back in when you got up to go to the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
But no, they go. I told them to be quiet. All right.
Told them to keep it down.
Keep it down. John's trying to concentrate.
I am. And I'm trying really hard to concentrate. So
you're doing great, John.
Oh, yeah.
Right? There we go. There you go. All right.
So,
just as long as we can get through the show without you
stroking his bald cat. Oh, that wasn't.
That wasn't one. That's a new one.
Yeah, there wasn't one. Okay.
How scared.
Big time.
Yeah.
So, all right. Was that the last? That's the last one.
That
right?
was the Titans, last news that I had. Yes.
Titans and Harley. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Speculator. We don't even. I don't have any speculators for this week. You said you.
No.
Have some.
I do have some. The guy that does this, absolutely free, and you know, at no benefit to himself, was super late getting these out today. So, I do have speculator roundup, but for the YouTube viewers, we won't have pictures of any of these going forward. So
we may not have John.
we will. We're John's fine.
John, you keep leaning into your mic and yelling.
I am.
Oh yeah, big time.
Let me stay over here.
No. Don't do that. That's too far away.
Okay. So first thing on speculator roundup is Gun Honey issue number one, the second printing. This is currently selling for between $10 and $15. I guess that's what happens when you put this on FOC before issue one actually ships out.
Yeah.
Because most people don't know that they need to order any more of these. I did finally get a chance to read Gun Honey issue one.
Oh,
I guess
cool.
We can talk about it a little bit later in checkout. But
yeah.
But yeah, it was actually pretty good. So
I told you it was. That's what I thought. I'm glad you agree.
Cool. I do.
Oh, don't forget to send me. I know you got them late, but you got to send them to me so I can put them in the show notes.
I will. Yeah.
Thank you.
I will. Okay. Next up, we have Hellcop issue number one. So apparently they put Spawn on one of the variant covers on a book that has nothing to do with Spawn.
Oh.
But that gets the hardcore Spawn collectors involved.
Yeah.
So there's a 1 in 10 variant here featuring Spawn that is currently selling
you
between
You mean people
10...
like me?
Yes, people like you that are like completely OG Spawn fans.
Yep.
Been reading them forever.
Yeah.
Weeks. But yeah, so yeah, weeks and weeks. But so the 1 in 10 variant selling for between $10 and $15. So not too much over ratio, but I think that's purely driven by the fact that Spawn's on the cover.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Phoenix Song Echo, issue number one. There's a 1 in 25 variant that's seeing a lot of interest. It's selling for between $30 and $60. This issue also features the first appearance of a character called River. So even the main cover could be something to look forward to later on. But right now, it's just the 1 in 25 variant.
All right.
Next up, we have Something is Killing the Children. We have the deluxe hardcover slipcase edition. So this was allocated after FOC, and most of us did not get what we ordered during the FOC process. So I know I ordered like three copies of this, and I only got one of them. So retail on it is $69.99, but it looks like it's selling for between $190 and $200 on eBay right now because word got out that this was allocated and it was going to be a little bit harder to get. So if you can find one of these in the store, it's definitely worth picking up at $69. Superman, Son of Kal-El, number four. We talked last week about issue number five and John coming out as bisexual, and this is clearly driving the sales of number four. The main cover is selling for $18, and the variant cover is between $8 and $18.
Wow.
So this one's probably going to continue to go up. Probably more so than even the number five, because being that we got advance notice of number five, you know, we knew that what was going on, we were able to up our orders on that. But number four, it was already in the bag before we found out what was going on. So
right,
knowing that this was not a series that was selling super well, the numbers on number four are probably pretty low. So this one is definitely one to look for and pick up this week. That is it as far as the speculator roundup goes.
Okay. All right. You ready to get... Do you have back issue this week?
I do.
All righty. Let's get to some back issue.
Okay. So keeping on...
I never put in the sounder for Spend My Money.
You didn't, because I threw you off this week because we didn't have them in the notes.
Yeah.
But as far as back issue bonus goes, sticking with the Superman theme, we have Superman Son of Kal-El, issue number 2. This is the first appearance of Jay Nakamura, and Jay is the character that's the love interest of John Kent going forward. So this one is selling for between $15 and $20 currently and has the potential to go quite a bit higher than that. Next, we have Gotham Central, issue number 1. We know that HBO Max is working on a Gotham prequel series that relates to the Matt Reeves Batman universe. So this book is selling for between, right now at about $30. But there was a graded 9.8 copy that sold for about $250 recently. So this is definitely one to keep an eye on. Misfit City, issue number 1. This is from Boom Studios. Came out in 2017. This was announced as optioned from HBO Max. And, you know, you kind of know what the drill is when that happens. This issue is selling for between $50 and $60 currently. And, you know, has the potential to go much higher than that based on the success of the series.
Of course.
Yeah. Fantastic Four, number 185. This is the first appearance of Nicholas Scratch. Nicholas is Agatha Harkness' son, and this is also the first appearance of the Witches of Salem. This is selling for between $30 and $40 for nice raw copies. This is purely driven by the Disney Plus announcement of a Agatha Harkness series going forward. Next up, we have... I scooted too far up on my mouse. We have Avengers 257. This is the first appearance of Nebula.
Did what?
Once again, several drinks in at this point.
Scooted too far up on your mouse?
Yeah. Avengers 257, the first appearance of Nebula. This is selling for between $80 and $90 for raw copies. Brightest Day, number 4. This is the first appearance of Jackson Hyde, which is Aqualad, number 2. This is selling for between $25 and $40. There's also a 1 in 25 variant that's selling for about $70. Adam Warlock, they announced that he was cast by Will Poulter going forward for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So we have a couple appearances here. We have Fantastic Four 67, Thor 165, Marvel Premiere number 1, and Strange Tales 178. Those are all very early appearances of Adam Warlock. So any of those could be potential spec pickups going forward based on that movie. Incredible Hulk 234. That's the first appearance of Quasar. This was teased by James Gunn as an appearance as in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. It has seen sales as high as $110, which is pretty high for this book because it was never worth that much in the past. Convergent Superman number 2. This is the first appearance of Jonathan Kent. Anything John Kent is super hot right now based on the tease last week of his coming out. So this is currently selling for about $50, and there's a Jason Kidd variant that's selling for about $30. Avengers 232, this is the first appearance of Star Fox. This was announced as being cast and being played by Harry Styles, and is selling for between $30 and $50. Bloodstone, number 1 from Marvel. This is the first appearance of Elsa Bloodstone. This is selling for between was selling for about $20, but there was a 9.8 copy that sold for about $500. So that's a pretty big spread between the graded and ungraded, but that's a pretty high amount for Elsa Bloodstone. Killadelphia number 12. This is has a Todd McFarlane cover, and it's seeing some heat because of the Nita Hawes series, which is coming out, and anything Todd McFarlane is always hot. So it's selling for between $35 and $50. And last but not least, we have Hawkeye Blind Shot number 1. This is the first appearance of Trick Shot, and it's selling for $45. And that is it for back issue bonus.
All righty. Let's move on.
Yeah, I know I stumbled a lot through that, but I'll send all the notes to you so you can put them in the show notes.
Okay. So thank you.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
All right.
Not the cleanest show we've ever had, but.
Oh, no. Actually.
But I can read. I can still read, so.
But that's the thing is you're having, as you go on, it's harder for you to read, so you're leaning further in to see. So you're like, the mic is like in your mouth. And I'm just
sorry.
Like, just let it go.
Sorry.
I'll try to clean it up in post, but.
You can back off the volume later.
You go. Yeah, because that's always easy now that you're further away. Yeah. All right. You ready to get to FOC?
I am.
Do you need another bathroom break?
I don't. I'm fine.
All right. All right. Let's get to FOC.
Okay.
And I actually have images for this, so I get to play along. I now that we've been doing this podcast this way, and I'm putting the images in, and it's no fun if I don't have the images to follow along with you, because I'm like, that's how we did it for like 2 years, where
yeah,
you just read
like
them,
said,
and I'd be like, oh, okay, whatever. Now I'm like,
yeah.
I hate it. I don't like it.
It's tough, because like I said, the guy that puts these notes together,
yeah,
he got them out super late this week, so we weren't able to get the images
that's okay.
on the show, but they did finally come through before the show started, so I wanted to at least be able to read them out.
Yep. Nope. Yep. It's mostly an audio podcast anyways. It's not about me.
We only have 32 viewers, so I think after this
and
week, we'll definitely have 64 viewers, though.
Well, depends. If you read it right after this, you'll probably see 132.
Maybe.
All right. Maybe. Let's get to these FOCs.
Everybody wants to see me completely effed up.
I can hear it. All right. First one we have.
So Batman 117, we have a Jorge Molina variant cover.
Yeah.
Next, we have Justice League number 70, Alexander Lozano. I think this is my favorite cover of the week.
Really? It's a good one.
Yeah, I liked it. It was good, and it's got my favorite Black Canary on the cover. So,
yep, you can see the
can't
fishnets.
Complain about that. Yep. Yeah. And then Nightwing 86, Jamal Campbell. This is a pretty cool.
That's
pretty
a cool
cover
too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. For new series, we have Batman Secret Files, The Gardener, they say issue number 1, but
yeah.
Again, we know Secret Files is kind of an ongoing thing at this point, but there are two covers for this.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have Robins number 1. This is going to be a 6-issue miniseries with two covers. And then Wonder Woman Evolution number 1. This is an 8-issue miniseries, also with two covers.
Yep.
From IDW, we have Sonic the Hedgehog Imposter Syndrome, number 1 of 4, with multiple covers. Marvel has no variant covers available, but there are a few new series. We have Captain America Iron Man, number 1 of 5, with multiple covers.
I think this is my favorite cover.
Yeah, I actually like the main cover here, which is done by Alex Ross, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You can never go wrong with Alex Ross. Mm. From Peach Momoko, we have Demon Days Rising Storm number one with multiple covers. I think this is my most anticipated series. Devil's Reign number one. This is a 6-issue miniseries with multiple covers. This is the Chip Zdarsky event.
Okay,
it takes place after the end of the last Daredevil issue. So
cool.
I think this is going to be cool. And then another one I'm also looking forward to is Star Wars Crimson Reign number one. This is a 6-issue series with multiple covers.
Cool.
And then last but not least, we have from Vault Comics, Radio Apocalypse number one with multiple covers.
Nice. Alrighty. Alrighty. You ready to get to checkout?
I am.
Alright. Let's get to checkout. What do we have up first?
Okay, so first issue from AWA, we have E-T-E-R. This is the one-shot, and again, it says issue number one. But I think this is going to play... It seems like this is going to go forward. So I know it was a one-shot, but I think it's going to play into something, some kind of ongoing series going forward. But in any case, this was written by Jeff McComsey and Dan Panosian, and had art by Javier Polito and Sean Crystal. I got a text, not necessarily a text, but a Twitter message from Dr. Joe last week prior to reading this issue.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of comments about the artwork in this issue. And I have to say, I do agree with his sentiments when it comes to the art here. It was very, very rudimentary.
Yeah.
And it felt very like Sunday morning cartoon comic strip when it came to the art. But with that being said, I did actually enjoy the story here. Once again, this was a one-shot, but it's setting up the idea that there's an ER that is focused on treating extraterrestrial beings. And it's kind of a secret facility that is housed underneath the ER of a hospital that, you know, is in place here in the regular world. And one of the doctors who works in the ER in the quote-unquote real world, she gets kind of sucked into this story of this ER that houses or that takes care of the extraterrestrial beings. And I thought this was pretty fun overall. I liked the idea of it. I do agree with Dr. Joe that the art in here was pretty rough. It did feel very rudimentary, and it felt like it was something that was kind of... I hesitate to say like grade school, because at the end of the day, it's better than anything I could put out. but it didn't feel like it was kind of up to contemporary standards when it comes to the artwork in comics, but I kind of enjoyed the book overall.
Yeah.
I liked what it was setting up. I liked the idea of it. The ETER, like I said, it takes place, it's kind of housed on the bottom floor of a regular ER of a normal hospital. And one of the doctors she's kind of ending her shift, and she's, I guess this isn't a part of the country where it's pretty cold, and she kind of has to wait in her car for her car to warm up. And the fact that she had to wait to leave her job leads to her kind of getting sucked into this world of the ETER. And I don't really know where this is going forward, if it's going to be an ongoing series, but I thought it was pretty good. Kind of based on what Dr. Joe had said about it, I felt like I was a little put off by it before I even read it, but while I do agree with him in the fact that the artwork wasn't where I think it needs to be, overall, I thought the book was pretty fun, and I'm interested to see what they do with this, if anything, going forward. So,
okay. Yeah, I thought it was like Men in Black.
It was.
I'm like, that's all I thought. The entire time, I'm like, this is Men in Black. That's all I thought. I wasn't super impressed with it. The artwork, yes, was very simplistic. It actually changed at the end. It got, like, what?
Well, there was two stories here. So the main story, which took place about 80% of the book, was done by the same person. And then there was a 4 or 5 page second story, which was done by somebody else.
If the whole thing had been done in that second version, I think it would have been really nice. But that being said, I'm not that crazy about the story. It was Men in Black. They literally, it was like you had to have a secret elevator you had to go down. And it was like, okay, it was everything from Men in Black, really. It was like, oh, what you see isn't exactly what things really are. And that's all it really was. So it didn't, 2 weeks in a row, I'm like, AWA didn't impress me. And it had nothing to do with the art, because we've had some rudimentary art before where the story just takes over and you're like, this is great. I don't care about the art. It's a great story. I felt like this story was just done. It's got sequels. It's like all this is here we are. It's just you could have, you know, Will Smith and what's his name show up in the ER like, hey, are you getting him checked? You getting Jim checked out like they did in the movie, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was fantastic, honestly. If it goes forward into a series, I'll probably check out issue number one. But if it never went anywhere else, I'd kind of be okay with that too, you know?
I'm kind of like questioning why they did it like a one shot. Like, what's the point of it? Because there really wasn't a point to the story. It's not like if it was a one shot, it didn't have a fulfilling story to itself, like a beginning, a middle, and an end, and you felt like the story was wrapped up. It was just like, hey everybody, let me tell you this little story. There's an emergency room underneath the building that's only for aliens. Okay, yeah, what's that about? Nothing. That's all I wanted to tell you.
Right.
It's like, well, there isn't anything interesting to go along with that. There's like, that's not interesting enough for you? No, I saw Men in Black. Is there more to this story? Is there like, why is she just getting... there's nothing. It really was just like, if it's a one-shot... There was nothing to the one shot. If it's going to go on, why did you call it a one shot? You know?
Well, so and that's the thing. I feel like it really is intended to go forward because the way they left it with her making the decision to push the button in the elevator to go down makes it seem like she's going to be part of that world. But yeah, if it's a one shot. Yeah, I don't know what they were trying to set up.
Honestly. Yeah.
I agree with you. It kind of felt like it should have been just number one in an ongoing series if that's what they wanted to do. But if it's just a one-shot and it doesn't go anywhere else, then why go to the trouble to show her at the end of the book hitting down on the elevator?
All right, I'm in on this. Okay, great.
But you're in on it, but we're not because it's not going anywhere else. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it was very strange. The entire presentation, then the story, and the artwork is. I can deal with bad artwork. And I don't even consider it bad. It's just not like you said. It's not what we're accustomed to, and that's fine. So, all right, let's move on to this next one. Maybe we'll have better luck with a show title here.
Well, we have for Vault Comics, World of Darkness, Crimson Thaw, issue number one. This was written by Tini Howard, and it had art by Julius Ota, cover art by Aaron Campbell. Mm-hmm. So I didn't realize when I picked this book that it was kind of an event issue that centers around Vampire the Masquerade, which is a series that I read the first issue or two of, and then I kind of fell off of. So I almost didn't go forward. Like, once I realized that in the first couple of pages, I almost stopped reading it. But, you know, kind of like I said last week, it's not really fair to talk about a book that I didn't read all the way through. So I did feel like I was missing a couple of things going through this book because I liked Vampire the Masquerade, but I kind of fell off of it, and I didn't really read it past the first couple of issues. And this book started to reference things that were happening in issue like number 9 and number 10, and I didn't know exactly what was going on, but but there was enough in here that I was able to follow it, and by the end of the book, I really wasn't, I didn't feel like I was confused. Like, I felt like I had a pretty good grasp of what was going on, and actually enjoyed this, although I did feel like it was very much Underworld.
Yes!
It was just kind of...
That's wicked funny. That's exactly what I said. I'm like, this could be Selena versus, from Underworld,
Exactly. It was a lot of vampires versus werewolves thing. Now, in this world, we have seen Vampire the Masquerade, but they don't have a current ongoing series that deals with the werewolves. So I think that this book might be setting up something going forward with that. But all the vampire characters we had been introduced to already in the Vampire the Masquerade series, but we didn't know anything about the werewolves. So I did feel a little bit, I don't want to say I felt like lost by it, because it was pretty easy to pick up what was going on just by reading this book. But there were a few things that I was unaware of because I didn't read all of Vampire the Masquerade. But at the end of the day, I thought this was pretty good. I think I'm going to read number 2 on this. And I'm on board with it, even though I didn't read all of the Masquerade series.
Yeah,
I actually really liked this. I thought the art was actually really good.
Yeah,
and I felt like as a standalone story, it did enough explanation to where if you hadn't read the other series, you weren't going to be too far behind. But it definitely made references to things that I wasn't aware of because I missed it. So, but kind of all in all, I enjoyed it. So I think it was pretty decent.
Yeah, no, I agree. The artwork I thought was great for the story. It matched the story perfectly. I loved the ending. The way it, I had actually made that note before I got to the end that I'm like, this is Underworld. This could be a Selena story, because the main character that you're following through this is exactly like Selena. She's battle hardened. She just wants to get into the fight. She wants to, I mean, it that's exactly what it is. So I was kind of a little skeptical on that part. I was like, another one of these stories that we've seen before, you know?
Right.
But then I know it has the werewolves and everything, just like Underworld, same situation. But I liked how this ended. I liked the surprise ending.
I did too.
I thought, and like you said, it was a lot like the way it wrapped up. It was just fun. And you don't need to have read anything previous, because I saw the same thing. Once you see those blurbs, like, oh, go and follow along on here, I'm like, oh, no.
Right.
But you don't need to have done that. So
No, because when I went into the book, I didn't remember any of the characters from Vampire the Masquerade, even though we read the first issue on this show. It was just kind of one of those. You know, Stan Lee went back and talked about Spider-Man and all of those comics where, you know, you could kind of jump in and read anything, even if you hadn't read the previous stuff. And he tried to tell all his stories that way. And this was kind of like that. Even though there was history there, it didn't matter that much that you didn't see it. Everything you needed to know was here. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. What else did you read this week? Oh, do you want to talk about Dark Ages number 2? I caught up on that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's awesome. And like you said last week, it really takes the whole story to another level. The Marvel Universe now is in the Dark Ages. Dark Ages number 2 starts out pretty positively. It's like bright side, huh?
Right. You don't
need electricity and, oh.
But you can find out that whole thing with Apocalypse and Magneto at the end of the book, and it's like.
Oh, yeah, they're like using Magneto. Like,
yeah, I was like, whoa, that was pretty cool.
Cool. The whole, what they did to Tony Stark, Iron Man there.
Yeah.
Tricking him, and I thought that was a really cool reveal. The webbing, how they're making, it's just so interesting. The fact that you could take another story, take all of these characters and put them in this setting that we haven't seen. It's like, did you see the show Revolution? I think it was called Revolution, where they lost power. It's the same idea, but in like the whole planet. Lost power. Like they have no electricity. Nothing can run off electricity. And I liked how they explained it in here in Dark Ages. It's actually the planet doing it itself, like creating its own EMP. And nothing can run with electricity. And you find out at the end of book 2, they've found a way to do it. But they've also, what was cool is they've found a way, like citizens have found a way to survive and thrive even without electricity. We just have to move on, and this is what life is, and that's what the first part of the book was. But taking all of these Marvel characters and putting them into a setting that we haven't seen before, and I don't know if that's ever been done. I thought it was very interesting. It's great moving forward.
It was, like I said, as much as I liked the first issue, which I thought was great, issue 2 turned everything on its head.
Yeah.
You know, all that, like you said, all this stuff with Tony and the stuff with Magneto and Apocalypse. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with this going forward. So, it's a great series. If you're not on it, you definitely should be on it.
Yeah. It's only 2 books, quick reads because they're so entertaining. Great. Joker number 8. Did you read that?
I did. Yep.
I still wonder why it's called Joker number 8.
I know, it's really a Jim Gordon book.
I mean, it totally, just because it's like the entire Batman series should be called Joker, because that's the guy.
I mean, Joker hasn't been in the book for like 4 issues. It's all about Jim Gordon.
It's all about Jim Gordon going after the Joker, but it's not. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't name the book after the person after the subject they're chasing. It's about the main character.
Yeah.
And I liked it. I'm loving the story. I'm just questioning the title.
Yeah. No, it's been really good. I haven't been following. I kind of fell off the backup story with Punchline.
Yeah, me too.
I haven't found that as interesting, but. Yeah, this main story with Gordon has been really good. Really great book.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. What about Superman Son of Kal-El number 3? That was a couple weeks ago, right?
I definitely read it. Is that the issue where Superman... No, that leaves. Was Action Comics, though, where Superman was leaving, right?
No, that's this one. Superman...
Was it this one?
Yeah, and he tells him to don't follow me, don't look for
right.
me. And yeah. that they're sitting on the roof talking, and they're like... And then John's like, you know you'd follow and look for me. And right. Superman's like, I would travel anywhere. It's like, yeah. I would do it. I'd travel to the end of the universe to find you. And you're like, of course. But right. I love the perspective that John thinks that he knows the future. Right. And because he says he's seen the future. He's, you know,
well,
he's
right,
been to space.
He spent all that time with the Legion in the future.
Yep. Right.
And he thinks he knows, like, the mission that Clark is getting ready to go on.
Right.
According to John, like he'll never return.
Right.
Right. But, you know, from Clark's point of view, you know, the future isn't fixed.
Correct.
Right. Like they can still impact what's happening.
Right.
But for John, it's the past because he's been in the future and he's seen it all. And, you know, that's the conundrum, right? Because we don't know.
Right.
Like, if I've seen the future and I go back and I inform the past with that knowledge,
doesn't that change it?
Doesn't it change things? And so just the fact that John says, hey, you don't come back from this mission, does that change things?
Right.
Because, you know, maybe Clark makes different decisions because he knows he's not coming back. So that's the whole thing. And we don't, you know, we haven't seen it play out yet. But,
right.
You know, again, that's the whole, you know, it depends on what you ascribe to. Is it the MCU theory of time travel or is it
right.
the DC version of time travel? You know, we don't know. But
I know. I love the idea that's the way they told that story of them sitting on the roof like that. That was a parent and a child.
Right.
The child thinks he knows. And right. the parent's like, you don't know. You have no idea. And it's right. and a lot of times what's funny is, you know, you're a parent and you've said to you don't understand. And a lot of times when as an adult, when you're saying that to kids, the best thing that you can learn and what you do learn as you get older, and I think that's what Superman is saying here, is when you reach full maturity is when you realize, I'll never know.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? It's like you come to this realization that, like, I'm never going to know everything. I'm never going to know this. I'll never know everything. Whereas when you're a kid, you're like, I know this. I know this. I know that. And then as time goes on, you realize, I thought I knew that, but I don't know right. that. I'm always learning, you know? And that's, to me, it's like that's father and son. That's a parent and a child. And I think Superman, a lot of time, like in this situation here, he's just playing that parent role of just being like, I'm not going to tell you why you don't know. Because I don't know either. But he right. doesn't say that. He just, you don't know. And it's like, you right. never know. So I love it. I love the that conversation going on there. And the entire, it will be fun to watch this play out. And does Superman come back by the end of the book? Or is he written off? Or I don't know.
Well, I mean, the thing is, we know at the end of the day,
it's a comic book.
Like, yeah, he's well that, but he's also not going anywhere, right? Like, Superman is not going to disappear going forward. So.
Oh no, but maybe in this story. But that's what I thought was like. I'm like, do they really do that? I'm like, and that was like the thing I was laughing at in my head reading it. I'm like, come on, John, you don't know you're in a comic book. He always comes back.
Exactly.
like Superman already knows. Exactly. Yeah. Come on. So. That's about it that I have for this week. What else did you read?
I read War of the Bounty Hunters number 5. Which I thought was great, but you know, at the end of the book, it just kind of ends where we know that it ends, right? Like, at the end of the day, Boba Fett gets Han, and he delivers him to Jabba. And Jabba puts him on the wall, because we know that's what happens in Return of the Jedi. Mm. But what I liked about the book is it set up kind of the next mini-series, which is coming up, which is the Crimson Rain series, which focuses on Kira in Crimson Dawn. And like, we kind of, all through this series, we were kind of like going back to Solo and wondering why she was so cavalier with Han's body, basically. You know what I mean? Because at the end of Solo, she was still in love with Han Solo.
Right.
And we get to this series, and it seems like she is all about, you know, she doesn't care what happens to him. She's kind of all about, you know, just the auction and selling off his body and all that. But you find out at the end of this book that, like, she really kind of thought that Han would be rescued by his people and that the rebellion would get him back, and that's not what happens. But it's revealed at the end of this book that, like, she wasn't quite as cold-hearted towards him as we thought she was.
Okay. It was part of a plan?
But it was part of a plan that didn't necessarily come to fruition, but she wasn't quite as bad as it kind of made her out to be. But it is definitely setting up the next Star Wars event, which is Crimson Rain, which you know, is going to be a mini series that's coming up going forward. So but yeah, I thought that book was pretty good. At the end of the day, it ended just like we knew it would, because seeing the movies, we know.
Well, you know the ending. You know,
ultimately, right, we know the ending. We know he ends up on Jabba's wall. So we know Boba Fett gets him at the end. But I liked that it did kind of what we knew, but it also set up something going forward that we didn't know. So I thought that was pretty good. And then I read Telepaths, issue number 2.
Which, oh, yeah. AWA.
From AWA, yep. Yeah. And, yeah, that was actually really cool. I don't know if you got a chance to read it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, the first issue was pretty good, and this one just kind of touched on a lot of the threads that issue number 1 introduced. And the biggest thing was, how do you regulate telepaths going forward if you're the government? Because, you know, there's all kinds of national security and there's secrets and there's things that are going on there. And it's hard to protect that when, I don't know what they said, I think it was like a third of the population was basically telepaths and they could read minds. And what does that mean for national security if you're the U.S.? Or any country, really, right, for that matter. And it got a little bit more political than the first issue did, but it was really good. It definitely, you know, it feels like the Resistance universe, but it's definitely not. But it really, it set up a lot of questions, and it's pretty interesting. Like, it had a lot of real-world implications, even though, you know, obviously we don't have telepaths in real life, but
right,
it was kind of like, what would happen if this actually came to play? And it felt like it was not so much like the comic book superhero kind of aspect as very grounded, like what would this really be like in the real world if this happened? And how would the U.S. try to regulate these people that were going to pose a threat to national security and things like that? So it was really, really interesting, and I thought it was – I really liked it a lot. So
cool.
I'm really intrigued.
I'll read it for next week.
to see where this book is going to go. That's really it. I mean, I read, like I said, I read most of the other books that came out, but those are the two that kind of stuck with me.
All right. You ready to get to Real World, Ben?
I am.
All right. Let's get to Real World. John, what was on your big screen this week?
So the first thing is I watched The Terrifying Tales, Star Wars Lego.
Oh, you finally saw it. Yeah, what'd you
think? I did finally see it. Yeah, it was fun.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It's a good overall story. It had some fun stories. Spoiler free, what did you think of that Luke Destiny one? For people that haven't seen it, I don't want to ruin it, but it was...
I don't want to spoil it, yeah. It was pretty... I don't know.
Wasn't it cool?
Good. It was.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I liked it. You know, the whole thing was that they were setting up... almost like Disney, right? Like, they were setting up kind of like a ride or an experience that focused around the Star Wars universe. Yep. Yeah. But there was... kind of an unknown Sith. I don't know what to call him, but the kind of like was left back in Mustafar when Vader left his castle.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess the caretaker of Mustafar.
That's funny.
And yeah, they were kind of making an attraction out of hotel. It was a hotel, right? That they were making out of. Vader's castle.
Well, they turned it in. Yeah, they turned Vader's castle into a hotel.
But it felt very Disney.
Oh, yeah, of course.
When I was watching it. Like, they were making a ride out of his castle. Yeah. But
you walked in and they had the Vader statue there that was supposed to welcome you and it wasn't working right.
Right.
It's awesome.
But yeah, this character that we had never met before was kind of there and he was telling these stories of.
Was he like a hut? Or did he look.
Well, the hut was the guy that kind of owned the hotel, but
yeah,
this guy was he was like a Sith secretary. I don't know how else to explain him, but yeah, he kind of worked for Vader and was left behind in the hotel, and he was telling all these stories about the Sith and the holocrons and things like that, but
yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty fun, and
but that's just it. They were all just stories,
right?
It wasn't the truth. It was
and that's what Lego made it fun. Star Wars.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Yeah, it was good. What else?
I don't know if you. I don't remember if we talked about. I remember talking about it, but did you ever watch Hightown on Stars?
No,
it's a kind of a. Cop mystery, murder mystery show that takes place on the Cape. It takes place at Provincetown.
Oh, really?
And so season two premiered this week on Stars. It was just one episode, but yeah, it was pretty good. The whole first season was really good, but yeah, it's just a procedural kind of cop drama that takes place on Provincetown, and. It was interesting kind of because it takes place in something that's familiar to us.
Yeah.
But season two premiered this week on Stars and it was pretty good. So we watched that. And then we watched, I think this was on Hulu, Guilty Party. It has Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah. I saw I saw the first episode. Yeah.
Okay, so there was two episodes that dropped on the first week.
Yeah, I watched it without Jen. I'm hoping she'll... That's why I didn't want to keep going. I'm hoping she'll continue with me.
Yeah, that was okay. I noticed that Kate has had a lot of work done to herself that... that wasn't quite great.
oh, God.
Yeah.
I didn't think she looked bad.
I didn't think she looked as good as she normally does.
She is a little older, John.
Kate used to be like kind of my pass on my free pass list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think she's there anymore.
Oh my.
Okay.
Oh God. I forgot about that.
Yeah. But we watched that. I watched three or four more episodes of Only Murders in the Building.
Nice.
I think we're on like number 7 now, so we're a couple episodes still behind, but yeah, that's actually a lot of fun. I really like it. You know, again, you can't go too wrong with Steve Martin and Martin Short. But kind of the surprise breakout is Selena Gomez. Because I've never really seen her in anything else, so I didn't know too much about her.
Growing up, Meg watched all of her shows. She was on Disney show or something. I can't remember what it was, but I knew her growing up. And
yeah, she was, but like my kids were older than that, so I didn't...
I love her. I think she's great on the show. I love the way she talks, and Jen hates the way she talks.
Oh, really?
The way she talks like this, and it's like she doesn't open her mouth and she talks. She just wants to tell you. I love it. I think it's great.
I've really been digging that show. Yeah.
Have you gotten to the part with the elevator scene with the big musician?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you know about Sting and okay.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think we're on episode 7 and there's been 9 so far.
Yeah. So you're right up to where Jen and I are. Yeah.
I think this coming week is the finale of it.
Yep. I think it drops today as we're recording this. I think it drops on Tuesdays, right? Yeah.
It might, yeah.
So yeah, the finale. So Jen and I will probably finish that this week. And
Yeah, we'll definitely finish it this week too.
Martin Short's hysterical.
He's great.
Just so funny.
Yeah, he's great.
And the producer guy. Oh, what the heck is his name? Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane,
He's awesome too.
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
He's good. So. Yeah, like I said, a lot of fun. I really have liked that show. And then I watched the first 2 episodes of Young Justice, which dropped Saturday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that was announced during FanDome. It was kind of like it was a sneaky drop. Like they didn't announce it until FanDome.
Why didn't you text me?
Oh, well, I thought you knew. I thought you watched it.
No, I haven't had the TV on. I haven't even been watching the Sox. I haven't had the time.
So the first 2 episodes of season 4 of Young Justice dropped on Saturday after FanDome.
Yeah.
So I watched them yesterday. Yeah, really good.
Good.
You haven't seen it yet, so I won't spoil anything. But
it
kind of plays a lot into... Like, it's very relevant to current events.
Really?
Even though it's masked in a superhero kind of facade. But it definitely plays a lot into, like, today's politics and in current events. So, really good. Really good so far. So.
Cool. The only ones I can add to that are Foundation. Did you see the latest episode?
I did, although I do see what you were saying last week about the time jumps.
Oh.
And I still like the show, but I feel like I may slip away from it a little bit. You know what I mean?
Well, they're not going anywhere because the story takes place over 1,000 years.
I know.
They're going to be showing us that. And
I'm not the biggest fan of that. You know that.
Oh, I know. But
I'm still on board. Right now, at least, I'm still on board.
I love the story.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. I can't get enough of it and the podcast. It's a lot of fun. You should listen to the podcast if you haven't. I know you don't have
I still haven't. No, no, I haven't yet.
They're only 40 minutes long. At the most, but it gives you so much more information. It gives you an idea on where they're going and what they're doing, what they're thinking. It really is a really good you know, little thing to go along with the show, because the show is so in depth anyways. And it's it one is. Thing to watch a show a couple of times, but to actually get like the ideas that they were talking about, how they came up with some ideas, because this is based on the book.
Right.
And that's why we're having so many people, like you said, the first week we talked about it, that people are that have read the book or the books, they're like, no, it's not for them, but it's just based on the book. And they're taking some liberties, but some of the creative things that they're doing here and why they're doing them is they go over it in the podcast, and like,
right.
It's fantastic. It's just so much fun. What was it? Is it David Goyer? Is that the
David Goyer? Yeah.
So he's like, he sounds just like me when it comes to math, because he's like, he goes, math, it just missed me when I was a kid. I didn't understand it. I think that's the term he used. Like it, he goes, I just couldn't get it. He goes, but I love it now. And that's totally right. Me. Growing up, I was so afraid of, I hated math. I hated it. When I went into math class and in high school, I hated it. I just didn't understand it. And then to the point that senior year, I had to take Algebra 2 senior year, because that's right. supposed to be taken like junior year. But yeah. I was told that because I was going to art school, you don't need it. Don't worry about it. But then senior year, they're like, no, you're going to need it. Crap.
Yeah.
So now I had to take it. And my teacher at the time, I think it was Mrs. Gorman, she's like, I went after school. I did all the work I could do to try and understand this. And I couldn't understand any of it. I didn't get it. And then there was this one time, it was like in December. She even told me, stop coming after school. Don't worry about it. I'll help you get through this. But it's just math isn't your thing. And then in December, all of a sudden, I got something and the rest of the class didn't. And she was like, oh, hey, all right. Went to the next chapter. I'm done. She let me coast through because it wasn't for me. But now I love math. I absolutely, like Joe and I talk about it all the time. He went to school for engineering and I still don't get it on that level, but
right.
I love going over the stuff. I love learning about it and stuff. And that's what this show is all about. And it's crazy how much fun it is. So really enjoying
it. Yeah,
that
no, one. I had Mr. like Compagnon or something like that. What was his name?
Yeah, Mr. Compagnon.
Compagnon, yeah. I was the same way. I was like, I did not get it.
Yeah, hated it.
Did not.
I hated it. I was afraid of it. I was like, nah.
Yeah.
Nobody could explain it to me. It's like, early on, math is easily explained to me in my mind. Okay, well, you go to the grocery store. If you have two apples and you need to get three
right.
more, how many are you going to have
yeah.
afterwards?
Yeah, this was like
five.
Algebra, like 2C or
Wait,
something like that.
I'm having enough trouble in
I
English.
Don't get it.
And yeah. now I'm having trouble in math, and now you're mixing letters and numbers. I don't get it.
Yeah.
And Joe's actually a better teacher. He's teaching me all about it, what the numbers mean and letter. And I know what the numbers mean, right. what the letters mean and stuff. So, but anyways, all right. I think we've bored everybody enough with our math.
I know. These teachers that nobody knows but me
yeah.
and you.
Yeah, exactly. Lost Symbol.
Yeah. I'm still caught
still
up with that.
Still loving that yep. as well. I like where the story's going. I'm still wondering. I'm still not 100% sure which story this is. I'm like, somebody's going to backstab somebody here. I know
because
I know all of these stories, but
it's probably like a compilation of like two or three books.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And do you want to talk Titans at all, or do you want to save that for next week?
I mean, we can. I'm just. Like
drunk?
No, well that, but like Titans is really like it's dropping a notch for me. Like,
right?
I don't know that I like it as much as I used to. And
well,
I'm glad that it got renewed for season four. But like every episode of season three makes me like it a little bit less than the week before.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I hope they do better going forward, because this season has been a kind of a wash for me. Like, I just don't think it's been that good. So,
well, it's not, like we said before, it's just not a Batman story.
It's not
a Titan. It's not a Titans. I know it's called
Titans. It
doesn't Titans,
feel like, it feels like
none
they
of these
don't,
characters are even close to accurate.
Yeah, it feels like they don't understand these characters.
Right.
And as a big Titans fan, like, I've talked about it before, like, Teen Titans is my jam. Like, I love those characters. And it just feels like this show does not have a good grasp on who these characters are. And I'm optimistic, but actually a little afraid of season four because I don't think they get it. And that's just it makes me nervous, you know.
I mean, we have the finale this week, right? That's the finale's Thursday. So I'm looking forward to it. I love the production. I love the story. It's just not the story. It shouldn't be called Titans.
Right.
You know, here's one of the things that one simple thing they could have done to make us enjoy it. Don't put it in Gotham. Have the exact same story, right? And say Sandman escapes and he runs to Star City.
Right.
And does all of this there.
Or leave it in San Francisco.
Yeah, but why would he run to the Titans? You could actually, you want to make the Titans travel, make them travel. But imagine if they took Bruce Wayne out of this. You could have still had Bruce Wayne in it and had him talking. Instead of making Bruce Wayne leave Gotham, take the story out of Gotham, leave Bruce Wayne in Gotham, and make, you know, and that takes this entire story and turns it into a Titans story.
Right.
I think where they deviated so greatly was with, and it's skewing you and I's perspective, in that what they did with Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
That it skewed it so bad that we're looking at a great story and a fun show and what they've done with all the other characters. You can do all of that. But what they did with Bruce Wayne is just, it skewed the entire thing. So I'm trying to look at it like, okay, let's pretend this isn't Gotham or let's, because it is a good story. I like what they do. I'm looking forward to the finale. I'm looking forward to how they wrap it up. We'll talk more next week about, you know, we'll get to Kryptonite next week and we'll talk about, you know, Jason coming back and if he should come back. There was a line this past week that I really liked that actually did surprise me. And we could talk about it next week, but I'm like, what the heck?
Right.
And if I can see something like that and say, why did they put it in? Like, how did they not? It's so tough. But all right. You have anything else?
No.
All right. Let's
need to wrap it up.
Yeah. Let's wrap
me, but she fell onto Dick. He was rode wet and put away hard.
Oh my.
Okay.
There we go.
And I need to go.
And you need to go. All right. That's it. We are out of here because John is out of here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Hey, send in some comments next week and let John know how he did on, and we'll talk about
it's
it.
It's a rough
next
one. I know.
Mailbag. I think John's going to have the most comments sent in next week. All right. We'll get out of here. Thanks for listening. Take it easy, everybody. Have a great week.
All right. Take care, everyone. I'll be right back.
Hey, Fred.